Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lesson 10. Living the Gospel. For God so loved the world. In the early days of Jesus walking around on this planet in this 3.5 years, he was visited by a famous rich person. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he visited Jesus during the night. And he said to him, and we read this in John 3, verse 2, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. We know. For no man can do these miracles that you does, except God be with him. This is a strong statement. We know it. You are from God. Without God, nobody can do that. And Jesus tells him, very verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus can't understand, be born again? We are too big to be born again. How can that happen? And Jesus says him, verily, 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 I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's the condition. Water, baptism, and baptism of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then there is a chance. Without that, no chance. And then, in verse 16, the most famous verse of the Bible, because it's redemption in one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the verses before, he tells Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, when Jesus died on the cross in Calvary, all the disciples went into a deep, deep depression. The first one who could understand what was going on here was Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews. He remembered, like the serpent Moses lifted up. He has to be lifted up. We have to believe in him. He pays the price. He is the lamb carrying the sin of the world. He was the first one. He discovered it. Disciples, they needed some more days to find out. Nicodemus and his friend Joseph from Arimathea, these two, they were the first ones to understand Jesus' sacrifice because of this speech during the night. Nicodemus and his friend Joseph, they were the only ones, these two, in the Sanhedrin, in the 70 rulers of the Jews, who were with Jesus from the very beginning, they understood he is the Messiah. The others knew it as well, but they did not want him to be the Messiah, except these two. Compassion and repentance. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we read, "But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Jesus was moved with compassion. How? What a sentence. He was moved. He was moved in heaven. Therefore he came down and took on this form of a human being. He was moved by compassion. And he wants us to be moved by compassion. And we find such a verse again and again in the writings of the Gospel writers. In Luke chapter 19, we see this being moved by compassion in Jesus even more clearly. In Luke 19:41, we are told that Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem sitting on a donkey. And for the people, for the disciples, this meant he will take the throne of King David forever. He will be our new king. He will throw out the Romans. Oh, now it is the time. The time has come. Hallelujah. Hosanna. And so on. And Jesus came from the Mount of Olives. It's a bit higher than the temple area. In between there's a valley, Valley of Kidron. And when he looked down on the temple site, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, Luke 19:42, "If you had known, even then, at least in this your day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes." He wept, and those around him could not understand why he was weeping. Everybody was shouting, crying hallelujah, and he weeping. Why? And here the mystery is lifted. "For the days shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you and compass you round and keep you in on every side and shall lay you even with the ground," even with the ground, a city, "and your children within you, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon the other." Not one stone upon the other. "Because you know not the time of your visitation." You have not understood. Your Savior has come to you. And he's moved with compassion. He's weeping. He sees the future. He sees the destroying of Jerusalem, temple ruined, never be built up again. Never again. being built up again, never again. And he's weeping. They have not, or they did not want to accept him as Messiah. What about you? Do you accept him? Then you will find peace in your heart forever. Grace and good works. In the Epistle to the Ephesians, we find excellent statements written by the Apostle Paul. Ephesus is the city in which the Apostle Paul remained for the longest of all the churches he founded. Ephesus, we can see over there. In this town, he stayed for 3 years. Very important in the time of the Romans. And then this Ephesus, Paul formed the church which got all the theological information which was necessary. And in his letter to them, in his epistle, he reminds them of very important elements. And we read in chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved." By grace. It's not because of your works. It's because of grace. "Through faith." So, because I'm faithful. "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God that you are able to have faith." So again, it's the Lord. He takes the initiative. And you open yourself or you close yourself. Either you shut the door of your heart or you open it widely. It's your decision. And if you open it, then you can trust. And you need belief. And you have faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Next verse. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Not by works. "For," verse 10, "for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." What for? "Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Now that's important. The first is grace. Without grace, no chance for being saved. If you open your heart, the Holy Spirit will come, faith is created. And then you receive peace, forgiving of your sins, after you have repented and confessed them to your Lord. Peace in your heart. Now, once you have peace, you're full of thanks, full of love. You've never experienced this peace before. Your conscience was heavy loaded. And now, you're free. You can breathe freely. The rucksack full of your sins, thrown away. Before that, you could not get rid of it, but now he took it off because you brought it to him. And because you have experienced this grace, you're ready for good works. Full of love for Jesus, you ask, "Oh Lord, what can I do for you?" You are ready because you're in love with him. you have been forgiven. You can only start with good works in God once you have been forgiven your sins. You must experience this first: confession, repentance of your sins, asking for forgiveness, and then they are forgiven. If they are red like blood, it will turn out to be white as snow. This is his promise. Our common humanity. In the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, we read in chapter 2, verse 10, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother?" Why do we act against our brothers? Do we not have all the same Father in heaven? Interesting question, made by God, asked by him. The Apostle Paul, when he was in Athens and spoke to the philosophers there on the Areopag, he said, "And God," we read this in Acts 17, verse 26, "and God has made of one blood all nations of men," Adam and Eve, one blood. Out of this one blood, he made all the peoples on earth. So we are belonging together. We are one big family, aren't we? In the letter, in the epistle to the Romans, the one which was the most important epistle for Martin Luther, because in this letter he discovered how to become justified. And there we read in verse 23, in chapter 3, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all." Verse 24, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Freely. Martin Luther said it was as if the doors of paradise were opened widely. Justified by grace. He couldn't believe it. Justified by grace. And this was the text he preached again and again and again. He said, look here, justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, not by works. You cannot redeem yourself. You cannot. Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. And in 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds of the law. Now we could ask, so all the laws of God, they are not important anymore? Oh yes. Verse 31. "Do we then make void the law through faith?" God forbid, Paul says. Yeah, we establish the law. As we have seen yesterday, once you've experienced, I'm saved by grace through faith I'm loved by God. I'm forgiven. Then you can start on a new level, starting out doing good works. So we do good works, not to be saved, but because we are saved. And that's a huge difference. A huge difference. Being saved, then you are able for good works. Only then, when you have experienced forgiveness of your sins. Here we are. The everlasting gospel. In Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7, we read, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Oh, what a message. In former centuries, it was clear for everyone there's a creator and he made everything. The creator made the creation. About 170 years ago, a new philosophy came up, telling people, it wasn't God. God doesn't exist at all. So it was created by whom? Whom should they take instead of God? What is the alternative? And then they said, yes, everything was created by chance. It came up in an explosion by chance. You know what happens after an explosion? Chaos. Never any order. For order, it needs someone who makes order. We know it in a kitchen after. The dishes are all dirty because of the meal. If you need an explosion in the kitchen, will there be order? It needs someone to clean up the mess. There's always someone needed to bring in order. And our universe is such a miraculous system of order, perfect, in harmony. There is a perfect mind, God's design is seen in all of this. In this everlasting gospel, we are warned. We are warned. Fear God and give glory to him. And worshipping him means, in a double sense, worshipping him as the creator. And when we worship him as the creator, we do not despise our fellow citizens. Then they are the product of the Creator. We are all of one blood. We all came from Adam and Eve. In this way, this last warning is a warning especially for the Western world. From kindergarten, through school time, up to university. All our kids stay here. The world came out in existed by chance. And therefore, God is robbed of his honor, of his glory. What do we read here? Give glory to him. He is the creator. For the hour of judgment has come. And we will see it in nature, in creation. For the last period of this planet, before Jesus comes, there will be enormous catastrophes in nature, so that we discover there is a creator. It is not by chance. The one who made it, he can destroy it as well. And people will think about it. We all know in our heart there is a creator, don't we? God is the one who made it because he loved us. Therefore he made it. Summary. We have a piece of art here, made by Maximilian Janče, this artist in Austria, producing all these wonderful paintings for us, these pieces of art. Abraham had a son, Isaac, and Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob had to flee away from his brother. He had cheated him because of the right of the firstborn. And when Jacob had run away, the first night he was afraid. Darkness. Not sleeping in the tent of his father, he had to be alone somewhere. A day's walk away from his father's tent. And he was full of fear. Fear how he would survive this very night. Fear for the future. Fear, fear. He was afraid of everything. That Esau would come and kill him, follow him, persecute him. And he prayed. And during this night, he had a vision. And he saw there's a ladder. The gap between heaven and earth is bridged. There is a ladder reaching down from heaven down to the earth. And the bottom, the foot of this ladder, is here on the spot where Jacob sleeps on the ground. Whew. He is astonished, surprised, full of joy. Oh, there's an unseen world. He has never seen it, but now he sees it. What he normally cannot see. Angels coming up and down. And on top, there's Jesus in control of everything. This means safety for Jacob. Angels are around. I do not have to fear anything. I do not have to be afraid. There is no problem. He is around me with all his angels. And he promises, when I come back safely to this very place here, on this spot I will build a house for God. In Hebrew language, Beit El, house of God. And later on there became, in this area, there was a city because many people wanted to be there at the foot of this ladder to see the angels coming down. But Jacob was the only one who had seen them coming down and going up and coming down. We can rest and sleep in peace. He is around us with his angels. And Jesus Christ, he did even more. He is this ladder. He came down from heaven became a human being, showed us the character of his Father, and died on Calvary on the cross. He is the one who bridged the gap, heaven and earth combined through him. If you trust in him, love him, believe in him, and out of this love for him, you start with good works. Oh, what a pleasure to know him, that you are forgiven, that you are free of your sins, that you have peace and safety forever.